For Education Matters here on WGTD-HD Public Radio, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, I'm your host, Steve Brown. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD is on your smartphone. For local news and the rest of the mobile version of our website, log on to WGTD.org. For live audio streams of WGTD, 24/7 Jazz HD2, and SportsWeb, visit the App Store and download the free WGTD app.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Decatur Dairy. Whether you prefer mainstream cheeses such as cheddar and mozzarella, or are a fan of more adventurous varieties such as Gouda and Edam, the market is open for the new year in the Roadie, Saturdays from 10 until 2.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Victory Garden Initiative invites you to attend their Food Leadership Certificate Program on January 28th, which equips emerging leaders in this field. Learn more at victorygardeninitiative.org/foodleader.
Do you know a high school senior who could benefit from tuition-free college? Gateway Technical College's Promise Program allows eligible 2017 high school grads to attend Gateway tuition-free. The deadline to apply is midnight February 1st, 2017. Go to gtc.edu/promise.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this, our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. Sometimes individuals and organizations see a need and decide to join together to make a difference with the issue they are facing. Today's Community Matters program is about this kind of action, about people who saw a problem and are working together to make something happen. The stimulus for this was the realization that over 15,000 individuals in Racine County are without a high school diploma or a GED. For our listeners, a GED is a general educational development degree, sometimes also called a general equivalency degree. It's for people who did not graduate from high school to get an equivalent to that. The issue that we face is a big one, and yet it is also a pretty amazing story about the potential here for making a difference. And so I'm very excited to have with us today three guests who can fill out the details of this very hopeful story. With us for this discussion are Hope Otto, Racine County Human Services Director, Cindine Jennings, Dean of Developmental Education at Gateway Technical College, and Mike Frontier, who is currently President of the Board of Education, but who served as many years as an administrator in the Racine Unified School District. There are many other partners not named yet in this venture, and today our three guests will discuss the highlights of this initiative and the importance of the undertaking that is being addressed. Welcome to all of you, and thanks very much for joining
us.
Thank you.
I think I'll begin with you, Hope, because it's important that we analyze a little bit how this initiative came to be. Could you tell our listeners what the issue is and how you're trying to address it and what's important about it?
Sure. So the GED initiative came to fruition throughout a process that we call A3. And I brought the A3 plan to our Workforce Solutions team. And what that is, well, it's essentially the size of a piece of paper, and someone came up with A3 as the way, the template for designing the plan. And what it is a root cause analysis, and it looks at a problem, and then it asks five whys. So once you drill down past the initial question of, you know, why is it difficult for us to fill the employment gap in the community, and you ask why and why. And once you drill down past the contributing factors to the root of the problem, you can better design an intervention to address it. Mm-hmm. So our team looked at a variety of challenges, and after a lot of deliberation, what we concluded was that the most pressing and tangible problem is that 15,000 people in our county without high school diplomas or equivalency degrees. And we felt that until we address this, we can't effectively move forward with the soft skill development and post-secondary education and training that employers have told us that they so desperately need.
Okay. And as I ask my questions, anyone can jump in and answer that has information about it. So where do most of these Racine County residents live who are without high school diplomas or GED degrees? Are they spread out all over the county, or are they concentrated in certain areas?
So they are spread out throughout the county, and most of our data shows that around 9,000 of these individuals are residing within the city's limits, and then the remaining 6,000 are outside the city, being the municipalities and then also west of the I.
What are some of the outcomes that you anticipate for students who successfully complete a GED? What kinds of things will change for them, for the individual?
Sure. So we are hoping and believe that the job opportunities will expand tremendously for the individual to have that equivalency degree, and their earnings should increase and opportunities as well. And the impacts for our community are also substantial, that we'll see an increase in participation in the labor force, and that we will see unemployment and poverty rates also decrease.
Mm-hmm. And we're certainly in hard times for a lot of individuals and families. Cindine, what is Gateway's role in this?
So we offer instruction for the GED. So what we do is we provide classroom instruction or open lab instruction for those students that need to prepare to take the actual test. So we have courses in math, science, social science, communication, and reading. So the courses are there for students to be able to take to get their academic levels up in order to take the tests that are involved with the GED.
Okay, I've got a question about that, because I see, and we'll say more about it later, but there is a GED fair, which mm-hmm. is one of the ways you're trying to publicize and reach these people, on Thursday, January 19th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Gateway Technical in the Racine building here.
Right.
But if people come to that, are they going to be taking a test that night?
They could. And so students have an opportunity, or potential students have an opportunity, to take the TABE test. And so the TABE is what's the test for adult basic education. And that test helps us determine what grade level an individual is at. So what areas are they strong in? What areas are they weak in? These are the academic areas that we're looking at. So we look at the math level, the reading level, and the English level. So people that are coming to the fair will have an opportunity to take the TABE test if they're interested. If not, we do have people available to help them set up the TABE test at a later date.
Mm-hmm. But they do not take a GED test.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that is correct.
And this TABE test is free.
That is free,
individual.
Yes.
Great. And you come 2 hours early, I read. Can you tell me if, say, somebody just is soaring on this mm-hmm. test, does that put them in a different category? Can they immediately take a GED test? Or
sure. So if we see an individual that scores at a 12th grade level or higher, we strongly encourage that individual to take what's called the GED practice test. So they're a practice test in all levels. So in the math, reading through language arts, the science and social science. So those ready tests gives us a good indicator if the student is most likely to pass or needs some additional studying in certain levels. So once that individual has done that, then we're able to assist that student with going ahead and getting signed up for their GED.
Excellent.
Right away. So we have
Excellent.
Had a number of individuals mm-hmm. that have fallen into that category, and it's not unusual within a few weeks' time that those individuals have been able to complete everything and pass all four of their GED tests and the civics test, which is now a requirement.
Yeah.
So,
Wouldn't you guess that there are a lot of people out there that are just afraid to go back for a GED?
Yes.
And when they hear you talk, I think, and Hope and Mike eventually hear, that they get some hope that they're actually going to be able to have a high school equivalency degree.
And that's one of the nice things about this fair because, you know, oftentimes when I talk with potential students, you know, people aren't sure as to what the steps are.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty simple. You know, there's a brief orientation that a person has to go through. There's some testing, and oftentimes people hear the word test and get afraid. But, you know, it's just on our end to make sure that we are able to better prepare people for their tests there. In my personal opinion, when they see what the steps are, meet people that are caring and concerned about their well-being and things like that, oftentimes it ends up being a really good experience for students, and they're able to take their test and move on.
Everybody has to live with hope, I think,
exactly.
Or they don't make it, and
exactly.
This is hope. If you have questions, our listeners, and WGTD will be putting this out a lot too, but you can contact Katie Kasparek at 262-638-6703 about that fair and about testing for this. Hope, I'm sure you don't expect to reach all 15,000 students, but does your group have a goal in mind for, say, the first year?
We do have a goal, and it's an ambitious goal. And Cindy can talk a little bit more about the numbers, perhaps, of the people who have taken the GED in 2015 and 2016. But we were only able to help around 10 or 12 in 2015, and our goal for 2017 is going to be 100 individuals that we assist.
Okay. I saw something referencing that, and I thought, it doesn't seem like a very high goal but when there are 15,000, but when I hear you say that so few were able to get one last year, it looks like a more ambitious goal at that point. Mike, what's the role of the school district in this? And I want to say for Mike that he's here mostly to talk about some of the things that the high schools are doing in Racine Unified to try to address graduation rate at high school, because if that were stronger, we wouldn't need all these GEDs. So what is the role of Unified?
There are several initiatives, Linda, that the school district has embraced. And it grew, again, out of the statistic that Racine has 2,000 employees beyond west of the county. If our whole county, if Racine had 2,000 more workers, our unemployment rate would match the county and bring us down well within the state average. So out of that awareness, the academies in our high school are taking root. They're now in their freshman year, and this spring, as some of the community may be aware, our students will be picking an emphasis for their final 3 years of high school. And our goal is to increase our high school graduation rate by 10% by providing more engaged, meaningful instruction related to the students' passions. There are several other things that are in place to address this. Block scheduling is now in place, and in talking to teachers, this provides time for the teachers to create an interpersonal relationship with kids. Maybe they've taught a concept and there's time now to work with the student. Maybe he didn't grasp it or she didn't, and to create a relationship. And one of the areas we're concerned about as a school board is in the rush of a short high school period, your focus is on content. And we're finding that kids don't feel they have a relationship with teachers. And the block scheduling, I think, will provide, and I'm hearing from teachers, a time to really get to know the kids. And as all educators know, you know, the heart comes before the head. And I'm hopeful that will provide it. The community school at Knapp, I think, will get parents more comfortable about being in school and maybe changing their perception of how they experience school. And finally, a very positive thing I feel, and as we know, poverty ravages families and takes hope away. The Gateway Promise is a magnificent gift to our community. And Brian and Ray, the leadership that Gateway is providing to give kids a sense that I can afford to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all these factors in our community are going to significantly add to the possibility of reducing the number of kids who will need GEDs. I might add that in addition, we're looking at a middle school transformation that will be coming online that will acquaint our middle schoolers with some of these career choices so they start to begin to think about these in preparation for high school. So we're excited at the board level of the initiatives of superintendent and her staff in addressing student engagement.
Thank you very much, Mike. What are some of the outcomes that we anticipate? We talked about for the students, but for Racine County itself, maybe Hope, you'd like to start with something there?
As I indicated before, I think that this is, has a great impact for the community in terms of being able to build upon our highly educated and working workforce. Until you get your GED, you're not able to enter into some of the post-secondary education and training that is required for a lot of the positions that are being posted. And it's a key way to meet that skills gap that we currently have. And so it's the base step in order to move forward in that. And ultimately, then, there's a lot of upstream social change that will result from this as well, and increasing economic development and all of that. But on the front end of this, we definitely will be able to connect people to the jobs that we're hearing that the employers say that there's a skills gap.
Okay. Cindy, did you want to add anything?
Well, and I think just to kind of piggyback on that, I think when you talk to potential students, the things that they share with us is when they're filling out job applications, what's one of the questions that they get asked? Do you have a high school credential? And oftentimes you have to mark no. Also, for those individuals that, as Hope indicated, are looking to get into certain jobs where you need some post-secondary training and they need financial assistance, well, when you're filling out the financial aid, one of the questions is, do you have high school credential? So, in order to get your foot in the door, obtaining that high school credential is critical. We deal with students here at Gateway that run the gamut. We have individuals with us that are studying right now that are currently employed, but in order for them to move into the next level, they need that high school credential. So mm-hmm. that is really a barrier to a lot of our residents. And so with this initiative right there, the hope is that we're able to remove that barrier for many individuals.
And for this program, will there be any cost for students? But
no. So the instruction at the technical college is free. So for students that are coming to study with us, they do not have to pay for courses or materials. The orientation is free. So the cost that's involved is to take the actual test, but
okay.
There is funding available.
Fantastic.
For
Who's
individuals.
Who's providing that funding?
So we have funding available through Racine Workforce Solutions, and then we have funding available through Gateway Technical College, and then we have additional partners that will be there at the fair that have funding resources available.
Okay. I assume that you don't have a list of names of people who don't have GEDs or high school diplomas. So are you trying to reach them to attract them through flyers and meetings and radio shows like this?
Yes.
And we do actually have some names of individuals that we have within Workforce Solutions that are being case managed by a variety of our programs. So we do have, a target audience that we already have been addressing, but yes, we have a community outreach coordinator that will be going to various community organizations to help them spread the word, to identify additional people, and Gateway is critical in that process as well.
Excellent. For our listeners, it's really, if you know of someone who doesn't have a high school degree, doesn't have a GED, let them know about this, because we do need to attract people to this, and it will help them enormously. I noticed one of the things for the county, one of the benefits, would, and for the individual too, would be to anticipate a lower rate of poverty. Mm-hmm. Is poverty directly associated with education level, and do you anticipate a drop in poverty level if we can get enough people on the GED?
Yes, in poverty and also, disparities amongst race and ethnicity as well are contributing factors to educational outcomes. And so by having everybody, those 15,000 people, which would be, obviously the ultimate goal is 100% placement
right.
in this, would, I think, drastically impact the poverty level. That's the highest in terms of unemployment in the city of Racine, and we would see higher wages and ultimately more successful families. And that's the ultimate goal for us, is to have healthy and capable families.
Absolutely. Mike?
Well, I think in recognizing these numbers, and there's a term called ALICE, which stands for Assets Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. And these are folks who, when you're checking out, perhaps will tell the checker, take the cereal out, I have to have the chicken. These are people who are just barely making it to the end of the month. In the state of Wisconsin, 920,000 families are ALICE families. In the city of Racine, it's about our poverty and ALICE rate is about 55%. So I'm going to digress very briefly here,
sure.
But I'm in Kenosha right now, where they've embraced a cultural amenities tax in 1988, and that was a tough year for our economy. And they've raised millions of dollars that go back in the communities for recreation and services that basically help our poorest kids. I happen to be on the Racine Park and Rec Board, and when cuts came down from Madison, it was often the parks and cultural services that were the first to go. And these are programs that, my family loved hockey. We would come down to Kenosha, and I had the means to have our kids figure skate or play hockey. But with cultural amenities tax, we can raise some funds and provide things for our kids, our poorest kids, to do that will round out their lives and help them move and see choices. Because I think the arts in the schools are key to engaging kids, and they should have those in the neighborhood as well. So as a citizen of Racine, I'm going to ask us to consider and have the courage to do what Kenosha did 30 years ago and raised millions of dollars that are now being plowed back right into where that money's raised. So if this tax were raised in Burlington, it would go to Burlington. If it was raised in Racine and we have many tourists, it would help our poorest families. So this is another way we can address this critical issue of poverty.
Mm-hmm. And, for years we've looked at how poverty affects the government, had studies decades ago, and people in poverty tend to have just overall much more difficult lives. So if this helps them move up a few thousand dollars a year, it'd be something.
Racine County is one of only seven counties in the state that does not have a modest sales tax.
Hmm.
And we're the only county in Michigan and Wisconsin on the Great Lakes without that tax, mm-hmm. that takes advantage of tourism. This is another way to help our poorest families.
Back to the poverty issue just for a minute yet. We see so many people, and I work with a shelter too, and we see so many people who are working multiple jobs or they're working one full-time job, and the pay just isn't enough to help them get through. So I assume this GED program would help them get perhaps a higher level job.
Right. And so one of the things that comes up is, how am I supposed to go to school? How am I supposed to work? How am I supposed to take care of my family? I can't do it all. So one of the things that we do is we sit down with students and come up with a plan. There is a lot of materials out there where students can study on their own. We have different times where we offer instruction during the day and the evening. We have different sites where we offer instruction. So students aren't locked into a specific time at a specific day at a specific location. So one of the things I want to make sure that I stress is even as the listeners hear that the fair is on the 19th, if you're working or something's going on the 19th and you can't make it, please still reach out to us so that we can do some follow-up and, get a chance to meet with you and talk with you to find out how we can help you get your GED credential.
Thank you. I noticed that the Wisconsin Department of Corrections is listed as a partner. What's their role in this? Are we going into the jails or the prisons and helping them to get GEDs or what?
So there is GED programming and HSED programming, which is our high school equivalency program that is offered at many of the correctional facilities. And so we do have a partnership where, as individuals that are released and they still need to finish up their GED test, they're able to transition to us to finish up and get their test, and then we can assist with funding for them
and
to pay for their test.
Is funding go ahead, Hope.
Oh, no, I was just going to add on to what Tandine was saying is that, you know, we reached out to the Department of Corrections because we know the educational statistics of individuals who were in the criminal justice system. And so we know that if we can help them to get their GEDs and connect, most importantly, connect afterwards to a post-secondary education or training program, we can reduce the recidivism statistics. And we have a Workforce Solutions member going into the jails on a routine basis as well to be able to meet with them and help to develop career plans and update resumes and, you know, job preparation.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifically important in a state and nation which has so many people incarcerated. What's the role of the Literacy Council? I was on the Literacy Council board for a lot of years, and I assume we're trying a little bit to reach Hispanic students.
Yes, and they also have GED programming at the Racine Literacy Council. So just to kind of talk about what we do with them currently, we work with students. So students can either come to Gateway or they can go to the Literacy Council. We have a nice referral process in place, and we're actually looking to do some additional, or actually send one of our instructors to the Racine Literacy Council this spring to offer more GED programming for those that are getting close to taking their GED test.
Great. Hope, imagine that we had a magic wand and all of these students got GEDs. Are there enough jobs, or even if with the smaller increase we'll see, are there enough jobs for people in our county?
Currently, in the labor market, there are more jobs than people to be able to fill them. So, yes, and the problem is about the skills gap that I had mentioned earlier, that the skills of the individuals who are currently unemployed are not matching the jobs that are available. So it is our job to help connect them. And Gateway, again, is a critical next step in that. That it doesn't stop at the GED, that we would need to continue, whether it be through one of our boot camps or another, you know, a partnership that we have in the training world, or through, you know, post-secondary, as I indicated, with Carthage or Parkside, so that we do not stop at the GED, that we continue with the education and training afterwards.
Okay, and I see there are a few businesses on your list of partners. What's the role of business in this?
Well, business is critical because we need to have employers buy into this piece. That they are supportive of this initiative and are willing to take a chance on some individuals who have maybe not the most streamlined application or resume, that they are understanding, and particular second chance employers that are looking at people who may have criminal records. And so if we have their buy-in and understanding their role in providing internships, apprenticeships, and whatnot, then we'll be even more successful in our venture.
Another very important thing that keeps some people from getting jobs, even if they have a GED, is transportation. Is there any aspect to transportation in any of these programs that, say, someone who lives downtown does not have a car but has a GED and could qualify for many jobs? Are we working at all in the transportation aspect?
We are, and I think the benefit of having Workforce Solutions as, you know, sort of spearheading this with Gateway is that we have a lot of supportive services within Human Services that can help individuals, and the majority of our programs have a transportation piece to them, so we would be able to provide either bus passes or potentially even gas cards for individuals who may need transportation to be able to get to a job interview or to get to, you know, their employment for a temporary period of time, as well as child care services, so that, you know, they're able to do the job search piece or the education attainment.
Mike, sometimes, you know, I've been talking to people about this program because it is very exciting. It's really, if 100 people gain access to this GED degree and are able to move forward, it will be just fantastic. But a lot of people say, why do so many high school students drop out of high school? I know you've talked about the steps being made and these new academies and other things. But why do you think so many people actually drop out before they graduate?
I think students experience failure perhaps in the early grades and start seeing themselves as in an environment that they're not successful. And when that happens, I think they disengage and look for ways to. And so this is the great problem that all urban settings in our country are facing. How do we catch our poorest families up to the so that they're can be competent? And what the research tells us, it's very often language skills that hold our poorest kids back. Middle-class students hear many more words than other students, and students in poverty. And when you get to second grade and a teacher, and let's be candid here, the mainstream culture doesn't even recognize the gift of language. It's kind of like fish don't know about water. And when the teacher says, draw a horizontal line across the page, some kids don't know what's going on. So the critical nature of early childhood education is significant. We can catch kids up at that level. The state of Wisconsin pays for part of four-year-old kindergarten. Many states are paying for full-day four-year-old kindergarten. So the state can address this tremendous poverty and this tremendous gap between our poorest and our wealthiest family, a gap that's very significant in this state, by providing more opportunities for full four-year-old kindergarten. And this would provide opportunities for parents to work and not have to worry as much about getting a kid at lunchtime and transferring them to another daycare center. So I know our community is working on it with our legislators to consider providing more early childhood opportunities so that our students aren't as frustrated when they get to the early grades and move on.
Mm-hmm. I know I always think, well, I worked at Unified Central Office for a while, and we were very into how to help unsuccessful students mm-hmm. succeed. And I always thought to myself, you know, say I had to go through 12 years of school in a singing class because I can't carry it too. And you think what day after day failing, and I think that these academies will help address that. But if you always went to a place where you never could succeed, it would be very, very difficult to want to stay there. And I think that's in some of that, too.
I want to add, there's some tremendous research by John Hattie called Visible Learning, who's assessed meta-analysis of the most significant factors in learning. And the most significant one is when a teacher sees learning through the eyes of that student. Yeah. And we're beginning to apply this research. We're at a watershed in our education. The second most powerful factor, when the student sees him or herself as their best teacher. And these project-oriented directions we're providing our kids in high school will force them, I think, to see themselves as their best teacher. Mm-hmm. So these are exciting times if we can master those new directions.
Very exciting times. Can you tell us, Hope, when did this effort begin, and how long do you see it going?
Well,
I
see the effort being ongoing. Even I was not being facetious when I said 100% of as our goal. You know, obviously maybe not a very realistic or tangible one in the first year or two, but we will continue to make this our key goal and objective within Workforce Solutions. But the partnership started really back in March, where I had explained our thought process and our brainstorming and the A3 plan that we did over a couple of months, and we reached out to our partners in May. And so this has been a relatively new initiative, but we are going to make this, as I said, our forefront moving forward in 2017 and ongoing.
That's wonderful. It is really exciting. And I would never have guessed 15,000 people in Racine mm-hmm. County would not have GEDs or high school diplomas. Is there anyone, how is your funding being? Well, Cindy, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, I think it's just to go into the partnership. You know, the nice thing about everybody coming together is a great opportunity to find out what we've been doing and an we now have an opportunity to consolidate some of our resources and our efforts and things like that, because there's been good things that's happening in the county, but oftentimes we weren't aware of it because we've been doing our own thing. So as mm-hmm. Hope says, you know, this is an initiative that regardless of what happens, we're going to keep going with this. You know, we've made a commitment to address the issue and to get it to, I would hope, that 100% attainment mm-hmm. that individuals would be able to get their GED. One of the things that we're looking forward to on our end, too, is to really be able to start talking with people to find out what are some of those barriers. I know Mike had talked about what's happening at the K-12 level, and what we see on our end at Gateway is a lot of the parents, you know. And so when parents are successful, then they're able mm-hmm. to help their kids be successful. So, you know, we really want to be able to talk with FAIR participants and find out, you know, what are some of the barriers, how can we address them to help you get the skills, the tools, the resources that you need so that you can help your children be successful in school.
Great. Thank you. Do we have any model for this? Have other areas tried this really focus, you know, this intense focus we're putting on GEDs? Have we had any model to set this up, or are we doing pretty much creating something here?
So Rockford has done a pretty successful GED initiative in a similar collaboration that we're doing here in Racine, and we're using a lot of their successes and best practices, and we've had several conference calls with them to hear about what they've done, and we're implementing a lot of their strategies as well.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, no.
Okay. Did you, do you have statistics from them? I mean, were they successful? We think about this 100 number, and it would be wonderful, but do you know how they did number-wise? Did they get a lot more people with GEDs?
They did, and I don't have the statistics on hand, mm-hmm. But they were quite successful, and they achieved well over 100 over a 3 to 4 year period. I believe that they were closer to a couple thousand that they were able to obtain.
Wow, that is wonderful. Did you want to say anything more about the funding? I see the United Way is on this. Is the county, state, city helping with funding of this? Certainly Gateway is, I know.
Yeah, the county is dedicating, you know, our resources for anybody who presents to us, whether or not they are eligible for one of our programs. We will help to pay for the testing for the GED. And as Cindy mentioned, Gateway, you know, will as well. We'll work in partnership with that. And in addition, many people will be eligible for the second piece for any trainings and boot camps and whatnot that could help with the higher wage jobs and careers that would be necessary afterwards.
Excellent. I'd like to go back to the GED FAIR for a minute. The FAIR, for our listeners, will be on Thursday, January 19th from 1 to 7 p.m. You can come any time between that. However, I understand if you want to take the test, you should be there by 6. It's a 2-hour. That's the pre-test,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's the pre-test, which is the tape test. So it is not the actual GED test that individuals will be taking. It's a test so we can ascertain what the math, reading, and communication levels are. And so from there, we will have people available to assist FAIR participants and what their next steps would be. And so, again, it is not necessary for people to take the test that day. We will have people available to help individuals sign up for future test dates and things. What we really want to stress is it's an opportunity to come out and find out what resources are available. You know, what are the steps that you need to take to get your GED? Where can you study for your GED? What resources are out there as far as financial resources, childcare resources? And then what are the next steps there, you know, as far as career resources, college mm-hmm. resources.
And for our listeners, again, you it says on the flyer that you have to have a government-issued ID. There's no cost to this, but I assume that's a driver's license or what else qualifies?
Right. A driver's license, a passport, state ID, and if you don't have those items with you on that day, you can still come to the fair.
Excellent.
We will assist you with getting, you know, a government ID for future testing. So,
okay. This time has gone so fast, so I want to ask each of you to answer this question, maybe two. How optimistic or pessimistic are you about the initiative in terms of what you see down the road? And what would you like our listeners to understand if they're needing a GED or someone in their family is? Maybe go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think it's important to realize the metrics of this. Racine County is, cost of living in Racine County is slightly more than other counties. And a family with two adults, one infant, and a preschooler needs $59,000 to make it. That's approximately a salary of $29.56 an hour. Hmm. And 65% of jobs in our county pay less than $20 an hour. It's very critical that our folks move from GED past Dallas into significant job opportunities. That's the world our families are facing. So I would encourage you to, if you know families in need, to get to this training and to start the voyage to a better future.
Thank you. Sandine, what would you like people to understand about this initiative?
That we are here. So again, if there is an issue with coming on the 19th, if you have additional questions, then please reach out to us. You had given the number to the listeners before, but you can stop in at Gateway, you can stop in at Racine Workforce, you can stop in at Racine Literacy, any of our partners there to find out more information. We want to help remove the barriers that are out there, whether it's childcare, financial. We need to understand what's happening so that we can be of a help to our county residents.
Great. And you can go online also at www.racinecounty.com/GED. Mike, quickly, I wanted to hear from Hope, too.
Rockford, which is a city we're paired with Visioning Greater Racine, is turning itself around by changing its story. We have to think optimistically that we can address these issues and we can become a beacon county within our state.
Okay, great, great, Mike. Thank you. And Hope?
Well, I am extremely optimistic, and I think that it's going to take time. So I'm optimistic with patience. And I guess what I would want people to understand that are out there that need their GEDs is that this test is doable, and there's a great benefit to see it through to completion, and both personally and professionally, a sense of accomplishment for doing, for completing the test. And like Sandine had said, don't let the barriers get in the way. Contact us, whether it be money or transportation to the test, we'll help you to get there. And just give us a call. And as you had said earlier, Katie Kasperzak is running this initiative for the county, and her number is 638-6703. And don't hesitate to call us with any and all questions.
The old saying is well known, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. I'd like to thank our guests today, Hope Otto and Sandine Jennings and Mike Frontier, and all of those who are working on this GED initiatives. The tools you provide by helping others to obtain a GED will clearly impact them for a lifetime. For that and for being with us today, we thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday morning. I'm Linda Fleshensky, and I hope that you will join us here at WGTD every Saturday morning for this program as we explore the important subjects that touch our communities. Because as we all know so well, community matters. Take care.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from the App Factory at UW Parkside. Is your business or nonprofit in need of a mobile app? Student interns at the App Factory make state-of-the-art and user-friendly apps for phones and other mobile devices. Web applications, too. For more information, visit appfactory.uwp.edu.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, tutors are needed for students at McKinley Elementary in kindergarten through third. Volunteers are asked to commit to one 30-minute session per week through the end of the school year. For more, call 658-4104.
Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Exit Laughing through January 29th. When a longtime bridge group loses a player, the foursome is kept alive when the survivors steal Mary's urn. Chaos ensues in this comedy about friendship, loss, and living life to the fullest. Visit racinetheater.org. Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Fay Liberty Fiber Arts, originally designed in hand-woven clothing and accessories. The market is open for the new year in the atrium of the Rohde Center for the Arts, Saturdays from 10 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. Visit andreasgifts.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Andrea's, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
Cancer.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.